At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, they yell at me all the time. About overcooking the burgers. Nice. Like, yeah, I know, or running out of buns. It's like, Christ. Leave me alone. I'm not even high in weed, and I have no MILF to go home to. My life's in sham. The nice thing about MILFs is that these days you just have to be 30 to be a MILF. You don't even have to have a kid. As soon as you're like 30, they're like, that's a MILF, which I appreciate as a child hater.
Oh, my God, I have so many. I'm not going to. Moving on. Please introduce the podcast.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. I am always am your MILF-loving host, Matthew Olenchek, joined by my DILF, my work DILF, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
I'm doing great, hon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I'm doing good. I was literally going to say something about the weather. It's been chilly outside. I have to refill my tires later because the air pressure's going up and down, but that's not exciting.
I forgot about that. I should actually do that.
What's nice is because I have a brand new car, I can just press a button and it shows me my air pressure.
Your new car you got for free?
Yeah, all new cars are free. But I was handling a bit strange. Not like bad or dangerous, just was like, oh, this is off. And I checked, I'm like, oh, back tires are low.
Nice. So this is an interesting movie because neither of us have actually seen this.
Neither of us. That's a different man or a woman. I don't know. The internet never tells.
D.W. Cali.
Yeah. On YouTube. Shouts out to you for giving us a good movie because, you know, we're coming out of October of a body horror that made me uncomfortable and maybe some heated, if correct, arguments about what it means to love Halloween. And so it's nice to just have like a nice, good movie we both agree on to coast back into.
Yeah, no, this is a masterpiece. 10 out of 10, love it.
Very Jewish.
So Jewish.
So Jewish. It's a Serious Man.
Yes.
By the Coen brothers.
Yes.
2009.
Yes.
And it does. There is such a close connection between like Catholicism and Judaism.
Sure.
And not just because one persecuted the other for centuries.
Sure.
But like there is that old ritual heavy tradition. And that's something that I was watching. I'm like, I didn't have the exact same things growing up, but it's similar enough that I'm like, I get this. And we both just have a lot of guilt and complain about everything, don't we? We're both very all angry with God, angry with ourselves. I think if every Catholic watched this movie, we'd have less Jewish hate.
Anti-Semitism?
I don't use dirty words like that. I say Jewish hate.
Okay.
It gives a power.
But yeah, I wasn't Catholic, as we all know.
Yeah, I'm not going to heaven.
Okay.
Wasn't baptized correctly.
I went to Protestant school for for 13 years. I did feel some connection to this.
I think I finally understood earlier this week why I don't dislike Protestants. I dislike the faith very heavily. Uh-huh. And it really is just the lack of like tradition.
Sure.
Like I appreciate the grandeur of like Islam, Judaism, any other major religion except Protestants really isn't worth the big things. Even the Mormons have it. But like it is it's just, it doesn't feel old or grand.
Okay.
And it just, I don't know. Grape juice instead of wine.
Some Protestant churches also do wine.
It just feels like I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's a part of something great to me. I go in there and it's like going to a shanty town. But yeah, continue about your Protestant upbringing.
Nah, I'm good. No, we may not have steep tradition, but we do also have the guilt. Don't make that face. We also have the guilt and the fear of a God sending us to hell. Trapped inside of me is a 6-year-old boy terrified of a hell he doesn't know whether or not he believes in.
All you guys got to do is say the last minute you're fine. Because God said, and there's also the Prosperity Bible is like a very uniquely... That's the big thing. The Prosperity Bible, which is uniquely Protestant, uniquely American Protestant. And it is so antithetical to Catholicism. And my Catholic soul, the idea that God would give you good things, insane to me. Why would he give you a fancy car and a house? You've been a bad boy. You looked at a woman once. You thought a naughty thought once. You didn't do all your Hail Marys. You don't get shit. You have to fight for everything. Fight against God, who you're afraid of. There's no love of Jesus. It's fear. It's a religion of fear.
We also have a basis of fear.
Nah. Of like the devil. What Jews don't believe in. There's no hell.
Okay. But anyway.
But judging by that movie, it doesn't matter if there's no hell. God's still going to like punch you in the dick. Doesn't? There don't got to be a Satan because God's going to kill your kid in a tornado.
Job was a Jew, so God still punishes people.
Like, yeah, yeah, no, he just don't go to hell. He just punishes you while you're alive.
Exactly.
Earth is hell.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I agree. So, do you want to get into it, or do we want backstory? Or
do you have backstory?
A little bit.
Yeah, give some backstory.
This was in the like 4 or 5 year period where the Coens were a movie a year people, where they just won the Oscar for Best Picture for No Country for Old Men in 2007.
And then almost 20 years ago.
Gee.
I just wanted to, because someone said BioShock Infinite was a really old game from a long time ago, or BioShock. And I said, it can't be that old of a video game, and it was released in 2007. I said, is that an old video game? To a Zoomer we know. And then they said, it was like 20 years ago. And I felt bad, so I want you to share in that too.
Anyway, they won the Best Picture for No Country for Old Men. So they were, it seems as if they were kind of given a blank check to like...
do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah. And in 2008, they made Burn After Reading, which is... a movie I need to rewatch. It is a movie I remember loving that is completely ruined by the ending. Mm. In a way that many Coen brothers are. That's not true. They're very rarely ruined by the ending,
that's
but the Coens have a very specific...
That's what the CIA guys, right?
Yes.
I've seen all the clips of... what's his name?
John Malkovich?
No. That's Malkovich.
Clooney, Pitt. I'm trying to think who else is in that movie.
Fucking J. Jonas Jameson.
Oh, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, yeah. I've watched all the clips with him in it and nothing else of this movie.
That's fair.
That's all I know about the movie is him.
I'll have to rewatch it. I was also like 15 when I watched it, so it's like a... over a decade ago, God. I remember being so on board and then it just kind of ending. And I was just like, so that's the ending? Like, and
is Big Lebowski their only movie with like an ending? Is that abrupt?
Huh. True Grit, which is the movie that comes out after this. Inside Llewyn Davis has like a full circle ending that it ends abruptly, but it's one of the rare ones that make complete sense in the context of the movie.
Yeah.
I never watched Hail Caesar. Could not tell you. Ballad of Buster Scruggs is 3 different movies, so it's really hard to like truly. Yeah.
It's a series.
But yeah, Burn After Reading. And then this was made the year after. And, it's a masterpiece. It's one of their best movies.
It's incredibly good.
I don't know if it's my favorite Coen brothers, I have to rewatch Raising Arizona, which has long held my favorite, been my favorite Coen Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. I'll have to rewatch it, but this is perfect. This is a great movie.
Yeah, it's a 10 out of 10.
This is a 10 out of 10 masterpiece.
It's been a while since we had a 10 out of 10 masterpiece. The last time we had, I believe we lost the episode.
Oh, you said Jennifer's Body's a 10?
I think Jennifer's Body's a 10 out of 10's masterpiece.
Jennifer's Body's...
And we will redo that episode someday.
But, Jennifer's Body's great. Jennifer's Body's like a 9. I'm so happy you love that movie, too.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've had legit arguments with people over
that. We talked about it in the last episode.
Okay, sorry. We will re-record that.
And then you will immediately upload it to Google Drive.
Yes, I will. But yeah, and the movie
this man sits on recordings like a dragon on his hoard of gold, I assume, until he has to export them.
No, not anymore.
It's like weeks later, he's like, I lost Jennifer's Body. No,
my drive died. My hard drive died. I'm real upset about it. But yeah, the year after this, they make True Grit, which I don't think wins, but is also nominated for Best Picture. And fun fact, it's their highest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Coen Brothers movie. Still fucking rules. But yeah, their remake of True Grit is the one that comes right after this.
What's the last movie they made?
Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And then
that's a TV series, isn't it?
Well, it's an anthology for Netflix.
Okay.
And then the one before that was Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar, yeah. Hail Caesar.
Yeah. Which I have not seen. I've heard you either love it or hate it. I've heard there's so few people in the middle ground.
I refuse to watch anything that so heavily involves the Navy.
Okay.
Because I assume it's racist. Because my grandfather was in the Navy and he's incredibly racist.
So do you want to talk? This was a viewer suggested movie. So like neither of us really. Yeah, neither
you've technically really seen more of it. So I'll let you take the lead.
I have not. We saw the exact same amount.
No. Because you saw that part twice.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this movie. It follows a 1960s Jewish family in Minnesota, but it starts in the 19th century, it's not Russia, but Russia.
I mean, at that time, Russia was, I mean, specifically at that time, Russia, much of its 19th century, around that time.
Sure.
Tsarist Russia had like half of Warsaw.
Yeah.
Because Poland was very Jew friendly. The Commonwealth was pretty accepting of Jews. It was like them and like more Spain at the time.
Okay.
But so there's like a lot of Jews there, and then they were doing pretty well. And then this kind of made everyone upset that one, there's like technically the first, I think one of the first democracies in modern Western democracies, constitutional democracies happening there, and was full of Jews. And so a bunch of people invaded it and split it up. Okay. So I imagine it's somewhere in that region.
Sure. The opening follows a very poor married couple, and the husband has
a tie into Fiddler in the Roof.
Yes. It very much felt like as I was watching it, it felt like the beginning of Inglourious Bastards, just like vibe wise, not in context, not in anything, just truly vibe wise. I was like, oh,
there's Jews, there's a wooden house.
Well, and thematically it's disconnected from the rest of the movie, but ties back, like, also came out the same year.
Did it?
Yeah. Bastards was 09. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, because Death Proof was 07, Bastards was 09, and Django's was 12. I don't know why I know that.
You have a DVD collection.
I do. I do own it on Blu-ray.
Like every DVD.
Every DVD ever? Okay. So the husband invites an old rabbi that they haven't seen in a while over.
Yeah, because he runs into him because his cart breaks down and he has to fix it.
Yes, and he invites him over for some soup. And the wife is like, yo, that rabbi's been dead for half a decade.
It was like 3 years.
Oh, that's closer to half a decade than not.
It's close to a third of a decade.
It is closer to half a decade than it is to zero.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. When I say like, okay, for like...
Fuck, you got me.
For like 3 years.
Oh. It's happened like a year ago? Yeah, a decade. I mean, it's closer to a decade than not.
No, I mean, no. Anyway. So like 3 years ago, this rabbi died. And the wife was like, don't invite... This is an evil spirit. Don't... invite him in our house, please. Please don't.
Yeah, because she's like, you've seen I forget, it's like the Yiddish word for ghost or demon or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And she's like, yeah. And then he comes in.
Yeah.
And she's like, not hungry. A ghost, I see.
And so he invites the rabbi comes, he invites the rabbi, and it's just real creepy and tense, and the husband's trying to play it cool, the wife is very cold and just angry at the spirit.
Yeah, she just kind of be saying, like, you're a ghost.
Yeah, the entire time. And then she fucking stabs him. She stabs him. I was gonna say stabs him with a knife. Like, what else do you stab with? Stabs
fork?
Him. Sure. He stabs him with a
sword.
Knife, and then the rabbi just goes, huh? And then gets up, places a little curse on him, and walks away.
Says, well, he's like, who's the possessed one? Really? And he's bleeding, and then he leaves.
Yeah. And then, we now enter 1967 Minnesota,
Minnesota. No one there talks like this in the movie, so I think it's very unreal. To be fair, we mostly hang around Jews, who I believe are cultured enough not to say Minnesota.
But, it's 1967 Minnesota. We follow a Jewish professor who doesn't open with the student in his room. I know he's on tenure track, but does it open? No, it opens with his son.
Yeah. The movie opens with his son listening to upbeat music.
Yes, like rock music.
Yeah, during tour class.
Yeah. And the son is trying to get the attention of the school bully / drug dealer because he owes him $20 for weed that the kid gave him, and it's stuffed inside of his tape deck.
Yeah.
And the teacher catches him, takes away the tape deck, and now he doesn't have the $20, and so the bully drug dealer.
And that time money, that's like 100.
Yeah. And the bully drug dealer is pissed. And it's just like, you give me your money or I'm going to...
It's on him.
Yeah.
It's 100% on the bully. This should be a learning experience for him. You don't give the weed to someone who says, yeah, don't worry, I'll pay you back later.
See, I think it was one of those he paid half and half later. So, like,
you take all of it up front.
I agree.
I have never purchased weed on a payment plan.
I agree.
They came to my door. I gave them money. They gave me the appropriate amount of weed for that money.
Sure, sure.
And then they left.
Sure. Yes. And
I
then...
had like one of those little... Like they had the fake hollowed out thing, because I saw it for sale at a smoke shop. And I thought it was really funny because it was like looked like a Campbell's can. So I would put my weed in there and then put it on my nightstand. Nice. So people don't think I'm smoking weed. They think I'm just having midnight soup.
Sure, sure, sure. Then we learned that our protagonist, he's a physics professor. He's on tenure track. He does a little physics lesson. Half people seem engaged, half people...
Very
like,
realistic movie.
Yeah.
Very realistic movie.
Or like, and I think he is a good professor.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the entire time, I'm like, I wish better things happened to this poor man. He seems like he'd be a great neighbor / professor.
I agree. I think...
Like, I would love to be his neighbor and come over to, like, his grill out. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Like, I feel like he is a good professor, but I also feel like, I mean, physics is one of those classes you either love or hate. And
well, yeah, because either you want to be a physicist or you're anybody else.
Yes, but it it seems that, like, he teaches high-level physics. Or it seems like he doesn't teach entry-level physics. He teaches, like, the high-level stuff. So,
or at least, like, mid-level. He teaches, like, something that's beyond Common Core.
Yes. And so even though he probably is good at his job or appears good at his job, it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And so half the people are just, I can't tell if they're actively disengaged, because I think once you reach mid-level physics, you know you're entering a mid-level physics class.
I wouldn't know. My only math classes were logic classes. In college, I never took my one science class was like light and sound and entertainment.
Oh, the physics of the entertainment and arts?
Yeah, which is, it's like high school shit.
It was.
It was not real shit at all.
It was so easy and so boring and yeah.
But I forget, was his name like Youssef? I had this fucking lab partner. Who didn't speak much English, didn't speak much at all, and he was the best lab partner I ever had, because we'd sit down, we'd get done, and we'd go. And we both know what we were doing, so we weren't like, he was like, oh, what do I do? And he wasn't trying to chatter. We just did, then left.
So now he's in the office, and a student is like, yo, I didn't realize there was going to be math and physics.
Yeah, he thought it was just going to be the cat.
Yes, which makes me think so many things. One, either this is an entry level course, which I doubt. The amount of math he's doing is not entry level math, but the dude should know at this point that physics is math.
I think there's a lot of problems with that boy in general.
Sure,
I think. Just don't think he's doing very well at all, really.
No, not really. But he's failed. The exchange student comes to the Larry and is like, yo, I am failing. I failed your midterm. Change my grade. And
I had no idea it was going to be math. He's like, well, it's just, he's like, I understand the cat. He's like, it's just a story. Like, I don't understand the cat, but I understand the math. Like, it's just to illustrate these things. He's like, yes, exactly. He's like, yeah, changing my grade. This poor man is put upon this entire fucking movie.
He is. It's Job. It's like this.
It really is Job.
Yes. The kid offers him, like, slips him an envelope, drops an envelope of, like, 3,000 cash or something. We don't know the exact amount, but we assume it's around 3,000 because the law firm bill at the end is 3K. And we can assume that that money is going to cover.
No, he gave it away.
Yeah.
He gave it to his brother.
Yeah.
It's not going to cover shit.
Okay. We'll get to that.
You're talking about the end of the movie, and I'm just bringing up a point. Like, okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
He doesn't have the money. Why are you saying it like that? He doesn't have the money. He gave it to his brother.
He does have the money, and you know he has the
money. No, he gives the envelope of the cash to his brother and pushes. Oh. Oh, yeah. Forgot about them.
Yeah. Anyways,
so. I'm still right.
And then,
see, I was wondering at the end. I'm like, why is he changing the grade? Does he think he's gonna get more money? He already gave it away.
So the boy in Hebrew school and the professor are father and son. The boy is studying the Torah to be bar mitzvahed, and
that is the appropriate verbiage.
Yeah.
Come, my boy, it's time for you to be bar mitzvahed.
Yes. and the marriage, the parents' marriage is not going well. It's crumbling. She's seeing the neighbor on the side and wants to get married to the neighbor's side. Is it Abelman? Cy Abelman? Something yeah. like that? And she wants a get, which is like a ritual divorce.
And she like won't tell him what's wrong with their relationship. And every time he asks, she says, stop being childish. And it's like, buddy, just get the divorce at that point. Like, you deserve better than a woman who's like, why are we getting divorced? Stop being childish.
Dude. And she's just like, you know, we've had problems for months now. And he was like, I was vaguely aware of that. But like... So she wants to get a get, and so he is now with the money and the divorce and his sick brother who can't hold down a job and is working on
a map of the universe,
a probability map of the universe,
which you may remember from our earlier episode, Time Bandits.
Yes. Though Time Bandits was a literal map of the universe.
Yeah, you saw the pictures.
But
he's working on it. He's not done with
this
it.
This was a probability
he's
map.
He's not done so with it's it. Like
the idea of what
he's going to give it to Yahweh. Okay. And then it's going to be stolen by a bunch of dwarfs.
Okay. Is this so? This movie is a prequel to Time Bandits?
I'm working on an expanded movie universe of every movie we've seen. I'm going to tie it all together.
Okay. But yeah, it's so now Larry is having a crisis of faith, and he's trying to see this high up, rabbi. He's trying to see like the high up rabbi, and he keeps seeing intermediate steps. Like Simon Helberg is like the junior rabbi.
Played by Mr. Big Bang.
Yeah, Simon Helberg.
Which is, it's ironic considering he's a physics professor. That's what Big Bangs are about. Just a little observational humor there. Okay. Didn't land. That's all right. It's okay.
I'm keeping
it's
that
cool.
in.
It's cool. It's cool. That's fine. It's cool. That's fine. It's fine.
I'm keeping this in, just so you know.
It's all right. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Would kill on stage.
So, Junior Rabbi's big advice essentially is just go with God. Like it could
what the
be
the fuck's a junior. Is that a thing? These like little rabbis?
I think it's like I don't know. I'm not. I never studied the Torah or went to rabbi school.
Like, that threw me for a loop. We don't have on Catholicism. So. The idea of there being a little one that's still technically a rabbi.
But it's like
yeah.
It's like there's tiers to the rabbi of a certain church.
Yeah, see, all the hierarchy of the Catholic Church is just like geographical. Like the next high up is going to be like a county or a bigger region than the same building. There's not enough room for a priest and God and another priest. God's big and unknowable. Takes up most of it. Why do you think Catholic churches are so fucking big?
Listen, I don't know.
To fit God in, he's huge.
I don't know how big. I don't know how big the Jewish community in this little sector of Arizona is.
Minnesota.
What?
You said Arizona. You're thinking of raising Arizona. No, it's Minnesota.
Yeah, I am.
And apparently very heavy.
And maybe it's just this two block radius is just all the Jews.
Maybe it's possible. I mean that's how things tend to work out because people are racist, and so to seek comfort you tend to go along with your own kind, make conclaves.
Yeah,
but it does seem to be very Jewish.
Yes, it does. Larry is just like, what the fuck, please give me answers. I have so many questions. Is any of this worth it? And
just keeps talking about a fucking parking lot.
He does.
He just keeps rambling about, like, imagine if a caveman saw a parking lot. Which really, I think this is where it really clicked with me that, you know, like, that's where I started to see the connections between like Catholicism and Judaism. Is like you're gonna go talk to the priest about something, and you're not gonna be happy with the help you get. They're gonna tell you some weird shit that you're not gonna be like, what does it have to do with anything?
I think that's just a lot of religious scholarship.
I assume if you go to, like, Protestants, they, like, they pull out their guitar and play some Creed or something at the very least. And who doesn't like dad rock? One thing Protestants have up on Catholics is Creed. Okay. Fucking love Creed, dude. Okay. I want to make a movie. It's going to be this, but from the Catholic perspective. Soundtracked exclusively with Creed.
Please, do you want to take over?
No. I'm just sharing contributions.
No, that's, I agree.
We're having a conversation.
This
here.
wasn't combative. That was just like,
no, I'm just as I said.
Am I the one running through the entire plot, or are we going back and forth?
I'm clearly not talking about the plot at all. Talking about making a Catholic, a serious man soundtracked by Creed, which has nothing to do with the plot. It's just a fancy I'm having.
Okay.
Because, like, the tornado's coming. It's with arms wide open. kick ass, dude.
So the wife is seeing Cy Abelman, who's the neighbor widower,
yeah.
Whose wife is barely cold, even though she's been dead for 3 years.
Yeah, but it is, although that's what the wife says, and he starts parroting it, everyone else is like, it's pretty fast. But like, everyone else is like, Jesus Christ.
Cy Abelman, the neighbor widower, comes to visit. This is back at their house.
Yeah.
Cy Abelman, he comes to visit and is talking to Larry and is just like, I'm so happy that you're able to be an adult about this.
We'll get through it together. Here's some wine. Yeah. You must drink the wine. Have the wine. Please, it would upset me if you didn't have the wine.
Sure.
Also, I'm just going to mention like the other reoccurring issues he has. There's like one other issue that really isn't super plot important, but his son's upset with the reception of the TV.
Yeah. Which is, I think, just to make the dad feel like the dad feels unimportant, or like, is this all you think I'm good for? Kind of thing.
See, I viewed it more as like,
or just another burden.
He's dealing with so much like actual issues in his life. And every so often his son comes in and he's worried that something has happened to his son. And he's like, the TV's not working again. And he goes, what? Yeah. Like, it's just so below it. It's like when you're having like a really fucking like horrific time. Like maybe it's a bad week and your friend's like, oh my God, I need some fucking help. And you're like, what? And they're like, they didn't have my favorite cereal. Didn't have my favorite cereal at the grocery store, and you're like dad got shot by like the black hatted cowboy.
Uh-huh.
Had followed him his entire life, and you're dealing with that. Are you next? Is the curse over? Is the cowboy gone? And your little fucking kid's like, ooh, no Lucky Charms. You'd be pissed. You're a man dealing with an angry god, a cowboy. And a man who might not be fucking your wife, but definitely wants to marry her, and your son's like, oh, my skateboard broke. Shut the fuck up!
You just don't like kids.
I don't like kids.
Yeah.
Love MILFs, hate kids.
Okay. Ain't that the paradox?
Ain't that the real problem, folks? Everyone's like, oh, God's angry at me. Oh, I'm having a divorce. I think the real problem is that how do you get a MILF without a kid?
Yes.
You wait till a woman turns 30, because that's how our culture goes now.
Okay.
Like, seriously, I know you don't jack off ever, but, like, if you look at, like, porn videos, like you can watch, like, the porn star will hit 30, and they start being labeled as a MILF. Concerningly, I saw someone who's, like, 25 labeled as a MILF.
I forgot where we were again. Oh, we're kind of just going to be jumping around because a lot of this.
It starts just really around this point. The movie becomes just him falling down a flight of stairs.
Yes. And then,
like, the order doesn't even matter too much.
No. It's him falling down a flight of stairs, and that flight of stairs keeps getting longer, like when you walk up in Mario 64.
Yeah, and the stairs just get, like, worse.
Yes. He sees the second rabbi who tells the story of the dentist who saw, essentially, like, help me in written in Agoy's teeth.
In Yiddish,
and he never saw it again. He didn't know what it meant. And then Larry's just like, "So what did it mean?" And the rabbi didn't know.
He's like, "Oh, do good to your neighbor."
Yeah. We meet the when he's fixed. Oh, there's the neighbor and his son who are very not Jewish, who actively don't like them. And the neighbor is, like, pushing, like, he's trying to build stuff closer and closer to the property line, and he's building
there's,
a shed.
There's that one moment where he's like, is this person bothering you?
Yeah. Yeah. So even if I think it's one of those, I don't like you, but yeah, we're still neighbor situations, yeah, which is cool.
It's to show that he's not, like, a terrible piece of shit.
Yeah. He's not fully anti-Semitic.
He's just kind of rude.
Except in the dream.
I think he's just rude.
Yeah.
I think the dream is him thinking he's anti-Semitic. I think he's just rude.
Sure. But yeah, Larry fixes the satellite for a little while and sees the...
some a hot pair of MILF tits. An audience, so do we.
Yes. He sees...
I turned my movie to normal speed for that scene.
I'm sure you did.
I was like, ooga!
Okay.
Wow! Ba-doing, ba-doing!
So he sees the neighbor somebody thing. What happens after that?
He like passes out or something, or he just goes to bed. At first, I thought he fell off the roof because he had something on his forehead.
Yeah,
but it might have just been like he got sunburned.
Maybe
from the hot heat of those tits.
Sure. And the dad of the Asian student who gives him the $3,000 bribe, He tries to give the money back, and the student is like, no, I didn't drop that. That's not mine. But you left this in my office. Yes, but I didn't drop that. That's not mine. Like, is
yeah,
weird, cryptic, like, legally I can't say this is a bribe, but this is totally a bribe. So the dad comes to his house with the student and is like, yo, accept our money. Change.
Because he's saying it's a cultural class, and he's like, is it a cultural custom to accept bribes? And he goes, yeah. He goes,
yeah, and that's when the neighbor is like, is this man bothering you? Like, that's a really nice moment. The brother is real sick. He has, like, real upsetting, like, we don't really see
cysts.
I couldn't think of, I was gonna say boils, yeah. But yeah, we don't really see the cysts, but we see, like, him rubbing the back of his neck.
Yeah,
he has to
drain them each day.
Yes. And the daughter wants to, is it the first time we mentioned the daughter exists?
The daughter doesn't do much except kick the brother because he took $20 from her that she took from dad.
Yes.
And complained that she can't wash her hair to go out.
Yes, because the uncle is Larry's brother, who I forget his
Arthur.
Name. Arthur. Thank you.
This is the movie where I remember names, apparently.
Arthur gets in trouble with the police because it's illegal to gamble in this little section.
Well, like the first, do they see that? Yeah, they do say that the first time.
Yes.
Yeah. They just show up. We skipped a bunch.
Okay.
They show up during the morning.
What? You're right.
We have to get to why there's a morning thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, this movie is such, like, a Job's tale that so much happens. So, Larry gets in a car accident. Sai also gets in a car accident. It's kind of half implied that it's the same car accident, but it's not the same car accident.
Not at all.
No. But like visual, like you're half visually implied. Like,
yeah, visually it's implied, but because Larry's going, he's very upset and he's going to work. And like everything's at this point, he's been forced to move out and live in a motel.
Yes.
With his brother because despite saying, wouldn't it make more sense for her to move in with you? That was refuted.
Yes.
So he's like just having a bad time, and Asai's driving to the country club.
Yes. And Cy passes in the car accident. Larry's is more minor. He has, like, not even cuts and bruises, but is more, like, generally sore, and his car is kind of fucked up.
Yeah. And he's also, at this point, another hurdle is that his son subscribed to a record.
Yes.
Of the month club. Yes. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I was in a car accident. Leave me alone.
Yes. He's also talking to a lawyer about getting a legal divorce in addition to getting the ritual divorce. And then when the police come...
Yeah, because his son calls him and he's like, do you order a record club? This is about the TV thing. He's like, you have to come home. Mom's upset. And that's when he learns that, like, Cy's dead.
Yes.
So they do the ritual. I forget what it's called. It's the Jewish ritual of mourning that usually, like, the vigil.
Shiva.
Yeah, and then that's when the police come over and they're like, cut it out.
Yes. Yeah, and the dude's like, dude, we're sitting Shiva right now. But yeah, he...
And they go, what?
He's playing basement poker.
They go, what?
Yeah.
The two things they always go, what? Because the other thing we get a lot of what's is he keeps saying, I need to get a get.
Yes.
And everyone goes, what?
Even the mid-level rabbi gets it immediately. The junior rabbi is like, is what? Yeah. And then it does click for him. Where he's like, oh, that's... Okay. Like, I know what you're... But yes, the brother was playing basement poker because he was testing out his probability map of the universe, and he was winning and doing well. And then now the lawyer for the divorce needs another lawyer talks to one of his other lawyer's friends at the firm about getting the criminal charges.
And they also have a third lawyer doing the property dispute between him and his neighbor.
Yes. And that lawyer has a heart attack.
Yeah. It happens later. They didn't really touch on it again. But yeah, the lawyer comes in. He's like, he found a loophole. He's figured it out. And then he just has a fucking heart attack.
Yes. But yes, and then they're living in the hotel. The neighbor woman, does he go over to the neighbor woman?
Yeah, he goes over to her.
What was the original? Do you like why originally? Or just like, hey,
the scene before he was talking about going to see the rat. He had the dream where it's like, you have to talk to the rabbi.
Okay. He goes to see the neighbor woman, and she, like, gets him high.
Yeah, there's really no hanky-panky. She's just really cool. Gives him weed and iced tea, and they talk about their problems.
Yeah, it's kind of implied that she's a very sexual person and is, like, open to it.
Yeah.
But he's not, he doesn't either understand.
She's got that deadpan bitch face I love in a woman.
Understood. sometimes agree. Always understand. And then they fuck in his dream.
Yeah, he's a series of dreams where they fuck, and then he gets put into a coffin by... Yeah, this is a dream where he argues with Cy, and then Cy beats the fuck out of him, saying, I fucked your wife.
Yes. Yes. And then, yes, there's the repeated... the son is learning the Torah to be bar mitzvahed, and they have the big bar mitzvah service, and he does really well, and it's real nice and sweet.
Despite struggling for a hot second because he's high as fuck.
Yes, but...
And that's where we discover the letters were written by Cy, because she's like, he thought highly of you. You wrote so many letters to the tenure board.
Yes, and the dad has been trying to see the... the chief rabbi, like the head
rabbi. The eldest
rabbi. Yes. I almost wanted to say master rabbi.
The master rabbi!
But the eldest, yes.
One rabbi to rule them all.
Yes, the eldest rabbi, Larry has been trying to see him, and he only sees kids now for bar mitzvah, because he's old and retired. He just wants to have, like, a little fun, like, yo, let me like wish these kids well into manhood, and then just go about my life. But yes, he's in the office of the eldest rabbi, where the eldest rabbi essentially is just like, good man, like go be a good man.
Yeah.
And then he hands him the record, not the record,
the player, cassette player.
The tape deck. Yeah, the cassette player.
Because the bully has been trying to beat him up every time he gets off the bus, but he just merely runs faster than the bully, like every time after, like, we see a scene after school, he's just running from the bully, and it's not close.
No. And yeah, so now we're near the end. There's so much that has happened. Well,
there's also the pool scene. Yeah, he has a where he's like, "Oh, your life's so good."
Yes.
And then he has a dream where he pushes his brother off to Canada with the money, which is where I thought the money went because I forgot it was the dream.
Yes.
But then he gets shot by his neighbor who says, "Look, another Jew, get him."
Yes. The Arthur has a breakdown at the motel pool. Like, your life is so good. My life is shit. I can't even play cards anymore. We're both these incredibly smart physicists, and yet one of us turned out okay. And yes, then there's the dream where he gives the money and pushes off,
to send to Canada.
Yes, to send to Canada. Yeah, we already mentioned he got shot. Then is the Torah. Yes, then is the bar mitzvah. And then he's in the office. His friend, Aaron, I think, Arwin. Anyway, his friend on the committee, the tenure.
Oh yeah, Arwin. Yeah.
Arwin.
He's in his office.
Yes, and is like, so we don't officially vote until Thursday. I can't give you any actual answers, but I think you'll be very pleased. And then he changes the student's grade, or he gets the lawyer bill that's $3,000. So he decides he's going to use the bribe to pay the lawyer bill. He changes the student's grade to a C-. He immediately
gets cancer.
He immediately gets a call from his doctor saying, come back from these x-rays we took. We see something, but we shouldn't talk about it on the phone. I want this to be an in-person
And then his son's going to get eaten by a tornado.
And then there's a tornado at school, and the teacher is trying and is struggling to open the door to the
If
shelter.
You're that close to a tornado, you're probably dead.
Sure. And that is
I can't believe God killed all those Jewish children.
That's the end of the plot. The middle is so
unless it's just his son.
What?
Unless only his son gets pulled into the tornado, everyone else is fine. Otherwise he just killed like a bunch of Jewish children. Which to be fair is very Old Testament.
Yeah. Yes, it very much feels
is what
like...
you did some minor transgression. I'm going to kill your kid's entire class.
Yeah. So that's the plot. We could absolutely have done that cleaner, but that is the middle is just a lot of trials.
It's a series of him just getting kicked in the dick.
Yes.
Just over and over again. He's like no wins. he doesn't even actually fuck the MILF.
Now they just sleep together in his dream.
He just has a wet dream all over. He doesn't even get a fucker. He has no wins.
No, except Arwin. Am I right? Anyway.
This podcast is canceled.
That can't be worse than Sucky Bestie.
Forgot about Sucky Bestie.
That was my crowning achievement.
Cut all my great content, but leave in fucking Sucky Bestie.
I lost that episode.
Leave in fucking Arwin, am I right? So what's wrong with America?
Okay, so this movie rules.
It's really good. It's really funny. It just flows really well. And I really want him to do well, but it's also enjoyable watching him just get the shit kicked out of him constantly.
All of the dynamics of all of the characters are so realistic. And but also like it very much feels like Old Testament punishment, but at the same time, it feels like Old Testament punishment in 1967 Minnesota.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like literally a biblical tornado comes down to kill his child because he changed F to a C-.
Yes, that is the only thing that feels like truly biblical, of like fantastical. But even that,
did you see the tits on his mouth?
But even that set in, like...
Did you see the tits on those MILF?
Real world. Yes, I did.
Pretty biblical, right? You gotta acknowledge... cutting so much, I'm forcing to acknowledge this.
I genuinely thought the joke was going to be fantastical and not biblical. So, you know what? I'm kind of happy you went with
Call
that
those
one.
Babes fucking Sodom and Gomorrah, am I right?
Okay. I'm not cutting. I'm only making like two big cuts. I'm probably keeping 75% of what you said, okay? And I'm probably keeping 80% of what I said.
The people deserve 100% of my words.
Okay. So sometimes this podcast very much feels like you're trying to punish me in post-production.
Maybe you shouldn't have changed that kid's grade.
I didn't. Maybe
Yahweh's maybe making me punish you or something.
Maybe I shouldn't have cut your porn story.
Yeah.
I would not.
Shit, it's because you lost Jennifer's body. Now you're being punished by Yahweh.
Oh my gosh.
It's your punishment, like the Green Mile.
So I love this movie.
Yeah, it's utterly fantastic. It's thanks to DW. How did you pronounce it?
Because
it
was DW Cali.
I'd have done DW Cell.
C A L L E.
C E L L E.
C A L L E.
It's E.
It's A.
It's E.
It's almost certainly A.
I looked at it last night to make sure. It's E.
I also looked at it last night.
Damn. There's no way it could be Hey, because why else would I have spent a large portion of today trying to figure out if it was Cell or like Kelly, you know? That'd be silly. Shouts out to you, though. You're a real one.
Funny enough, I was going to recommend a Coen Brothers movie anyway for the beginning of November. So thank you, dude, for...
It all worked out.
Yeah. This might be my favorite Coen Brothers movie. I think I mentioned this earlier. Don't start with this one. It very much has a very specific tone and a very, very Coen Brothers ending. That if you're not already attuned to their style and their vibration, it's... I'm not saying the movie itself is difficult to get into, but I think...
Don't listen to him. Jump into the deep end. Jump straight into the deep... Anything you want to do... Don't fucking ease yourself into anything. Go full throttle. Fucking, was it Guns to the Wind? What's the saying?
Guns Blazing?
No, Something to the Wind. Full throttle, dick out, screaming, into whatever you want to do. Don't show any restraint ever.
Okay. How long? I forgot to set my timer. How long have we been recording? Only an hour 14. Did we miss anything plot-wise? Almost certainly we did.
Yeah.
We jumped around a lot.
Nothing big, though.
Okay. This is such an interest. This is their most Jewish movie, obviously. And I know the Coen brothers are Jewish, but like, they don't...
It's their dogma.
Yes. And... A lot of their movies take place... I feel like a lot of their movies are more a send-up to Minnesota than Judaism. And this is, like, a send-up to both of them.
Yeah.
This is... I mean... I guess it's their dogma. It's the Coen brothers' version of dogma,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's their dogma.
Because they're not a fan... They're not really fantastical, like... They're not, like, superstitious-y, myth-fantastical filmmakers.
No. But it's a movie that... is probably a lot more enjoyable to someone of that faith. Like how like Dogma is so good for me to watch because I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I'm Catholic.
Did you hear Dogma?
It's finally free.
Yes. I'm so excited. I'm going to buy that Blu-ray. It's such a good movie.
Please buy a pizza. No! Another movie for the collection, Neve!
I own two versions of Dogma on DVD.
Who needs food when an old hairy boy could have a third Dogma?
I almost bought a bootleg Blu-ray at a comic convention in Cleveland. They had like a bootleg booth. And
I didn't want to mention it when we were filming it, but when Neve was on for the guest episode, she was wearing a potato sack because she has no money for clothes because Harrison took her money to buy, like, I don't know, a fourth copy of Tusk.
That isn't true. That isn't...
Sorry, fifth. I found her in my car. She was, like, looking for change in the seats.
I want more movies like this. Not necessarily
like good movies.
Yes, but like
I think most people want more good movies.
No, but I want like more like personal, like this, like movies that feel like you're at this point a master of your craft, so you get to make the personal movie, like the Fableman.
Well, yeah, like a Megalopolis or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've heard it's a mess.
It's his personal movie. He made because he can make whatever he wanted. Which, he can make whatever he wanted to.
I love big swings and misses. This is a swing and a hit, but like
I'm sure it's really good and people just are not great because they're like, where's Robert Downey Jr.?
Listen, this is a mess. Like this movie, this podcast is a mess right now. I think because we both love it and admit it's a masterpiece that it's really just, it's difficult to talk about.
It is because there's nothing, it's really good. There's nothing really to complain about, and there's nothing to surprise us either.
Not even.
Because it's the Coen brothers. Like, if this was a Michael Bay film, we'd be going on for hours about it.
A thousand?
But it's a very good movie made by very good directors.
Yes. I will bring the movies I was going to bring. My original plan for this was I was going to do Blood Simple, and then my next choice was going to be Raising Arizona, because I wanted to show like what a first and second movie of a like what direct of the directors are. So you can like see a full like how they connect, but also like a full glimpse in their process of like how they make movies without doing like a full filmography.
Yeah.
But we just jumped straight in the middle with just a fucking masterpiece they made.
Yeah, it's what we had another movie where we had the same problem because it was just like good movie made by good people and we're like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we had a little bit of that problem with Death of Stalin.
Death of Stalin. Yeah, because the issue is that, like, I think that this is true for discussing movies in general. If you're not a pretentious piece of shit, it's really hard to go on and on about a movie you like. Because if you're a pretentious piece of shit, you're like, the lens work was exquisite. Let's talk about the lighting and stuff. And it's like, no, it's a great movie.
Not all of the character dynamics are excellent. The actors are giving pitch perfect performances.
Everything works perfectly.
Yes.
There's not much more we can say besides like, this is a great movie. You should watch it.
And thank you so much for recommending this, DW Cali.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Watch this movie. Any final thoughts?
It's so good. I mean, it's... I touched on really everything. It's a great movie. It's a real like dogma, like we were saying, where it's like really, it's an identity movie. You can tell that it is made by someone of a particular religion expressing that religion. It is a deeply Jewish movie. You'll enjoy it if you're a Catholic, though. There's very many similarities in our faiths. As a Protestant, you might be a bit confused about the idea of a ritual in church. Where's the guy on a guitar singing Creed? Where's old Uncle Johnny playing beer pong in the parking lot? What's happening here? But you know, if you're from one of the true Abrahamic religions, I think you'll find a lot to enjoy in this movie.
You know what? I'm going to second that sentiment with, and not argue with you.
We've won.
So
we've done it.
Anyway, do you want to do social?
Yeah. You can find us on Instagram at Two Men Movie Podcast. You can email us pictures of hot MILFs at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me at Midwest_magician. You can see some cool Halloween pictures there. And my approaching middle-age hobbies I'm getting really into. And find like Florence Pugh at Florence Pugh, I'm pretty sure, on Instagram, which is a good follow. The ideal woman, really. Be sure to, you know, share this with your friends, your family, you know, if you enjoyed it, pass it around. Leave us recommendations too, please. This was great. Please, if it takes very little effort, you can just, if you just type the name of a movie and hit enter, we'll watch it. You don't got to say shit.
We're small enough that we might legit do that.
I will. I have access to the
if and when we get big enough where we get multiple suggestions, we'll probably assemble a list and then have to do some
get
sort
in while
of organization.
It's hot. Get in while it's fucking hot.
Get in while it's hot.
A fun fact, I did reply to DW's comment.
Yeah, I saw.
And then I signed it Matthew as though you have access to the YouTube account. I was looking at it yesterday. I'm like, why'd I sign it? I mean, I guess he knows it's me, but like, Harrison can't sign it. Only I have access to this because it's like hooked up to my personal like thing. Because I'm not great at making separate accounts.
You can find me at harrisonpoole.com. That's P-O-O-L-E spelled out D-O-T.com.
He thought it'd make it easier. It has not.
No, I'm probably going to have to change it again.
He has a wild decision.
Or not. You know what? Who cares? Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you to DW Callie for this recommendation. Thank you guys for listening.
Kisses.
All right.
Got a confession.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men and a